Good morning. Good morning. Everybody that doesn't have a seat, if they would leave the room, and Mr. Scott Marshall will guide you to where you're supposed to go.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Good morning. Nice to see you all. We're requesting that we have a number of seats available in the community room. So if you are standing at this moment, we'd love to have you be comfortable and move into the community room. So if you would just file out this door and down the hall. Good morning. I call this meeting of March 9th, 2018 to order. The time is 9:05 and a half. Our chair, Tusson, is absent today and as vice chair, and as is Kelly Hubbard. So if you want to address an item, you must fill out a speaker slip and give it to the Housing Commission Secretary, Mrs. Angie Rosati. If you want to speak in favor of an item, please fill out a goldenrod slip. If you want to speak against an item, please fill out a pink slip. And if you want to speak on a non-agenda item, please fill out a white slip. Can everyone hear me in the back and so forth? Okay, thank you. We have a large number of people today. So we are live streaming video of this meeting to an overflow room on our fourth floor, lunchroom, down the hall, and to a second overflow room in our Housing Commission Achievement Academy on the first floor. Members of the public in these overflow rooms will have an opportunity to listen and view this meeting and to provide public comment if they wish to do so. Housing Commission staff are stationed in each overflow room to collect speaker slips, provide them to Ms. Rosati, and help to escort speakers to and from the boardroom. We have three non-agenda public comments requests, and we'll call you each forward, and you may give comments, not exceeding 2 minutes. Mr. Christensen, General Counsel, will keep the time and will let you know when your time is up, and he will introduce the next speakers for the chair. Mr. Christensen, call.
Thank you. Good morning. We have three non-agenda public comment requests. So, and I don't know which room these folks are in, but Martha Welsh, are you in this room? Okay. Meanwhile, Catherine Roach is here. Why don't you come up at this time for non-agenda public comment? 2 minutes.
Good morning. Catherine Roach from Point Loma. And what I wanted to tell you guys is, you're rich. You're so rich. And the reason for that is because you have, in your fiscal year 2017 comprehensive annual financial report, it shows that you have $300 million in unrestricted net position. It's not restricted net position, which you have to have on the side because of some reserves and types of laws and stuff you have to have. But you have $300 million in unrestricted net position. In your CAFR, you know, you're supposed to say, okay, if it's unrestricted or if it happens to be restricted, it should have been moved over to the restricted column. And so what has happened? It's very much the same thing that happens at San Diego, the same thing that happens at the city, the same thing that happens at the county with the mental health service agreement, all the money that they have there, the $2 billion in reserves they have there. You guys get some money in, and instead of spending it all and reinvesting it into the community as required by the law, you guys are kind of putting it into this pot of unrestricted net position and just kind of saying, oh, yeah, that's we're using that for something in the future. But you never tell anybody what you're using it for in the future. And if you were going to actually be using it for something in the future, it would have been documented in the restricted net position. So you guys are so rich. So, what I would ask if one of you board members, because, of course, I've been speaking to the San Diego Housing Commission forever about this, I would like one of the commissioners to actually communicate with me, call me, and let me show you the evidence so that you could go back to your staff and ask all the different questions that, a lot of people, including the Union Tribune, the Watchdog Story, the San Diego Reader, everybody's been telling me this for a whole bunch of years, and you kind of just don't believe it because your staff says, oh, don't believe them. But it's, black and white in your documentation, so I hopefully somebody will contact me so I can show you the wonderful evidence.
Thank you very much. Your time is up. Next speaker is Martha Welsh, please.
Martha Welch, I'm here to talk about what you built, one studios and bedrooms, a church, a house, can you hear me? Martha Welch, you built studios and a house, Celadon Town, Gardens, so, why? You have this caller in this county who's death threats all the time to control you. And that's why the hotels you're doing, the one studio, but to went market rate. What we really need is two bedrooms and three bedrooms for family. You had a victory one time with families, one bedroom with a twin bed. That's not right. It has to be more of that. All these rules you have in the county does this, of these rules. AMI, property base, I saw that when I used to be a politician one time, and I know what happened. The manager, if he likes you, they'll give you Section 8 if they like you. You don't have to qualify. And also, the list doesn't work. I know. I've tried to call the housing, and no one answers the phone, so no one here to answer the phone. That's what you do here. You don't answer the phone. I don't think you have employees to answer the phone or something. I don't know. And if you on Fridays you try to call up on your list, it's the same thing. No one answers. It's just busy. So you can't call these people. So that's why I think it's wrong what you're doing. I saw the agenda, how much money your salaries are. It's $1 million every year. That's what's said in the budget of the city. So I don't think you care about the people because what you build. And it's wrong. Everything I see is that. And I'm a senior and I'm looking for housing. And you know what the housing is? Like San Diego Square, people living free because he wants them to do this. And they're Chinese. I can't help that. They jumped over me. I was on a list, and they jumped over me, and they got in ahead of me. So that's how I know what's going on. So I know that this is wrong, what you're doing with housing.
Is this on? Yes. How much time do I have? 2 minutes. Okay, thank you. Joy Sunyata, District 3. Good morning, everyone. It's so exciting. I know it's a bit more complicated, but it's so exciting to have all these citizens out and all of you here working with us to make these things improve and get better. So thank you for that, first of all. And I was at City Council and was excited to see on the consent agenda that San Diego Square got approved and purchased by the Housing Commission. So I'm excited about that. But this is what brings me to the microphone this morning. And I've been looking at the homeless issue since when I moved here in 2004. And I never really felt this jab in my heart that I felt when I read a statistic in the City Beat recently. And here it is. And it's via iNewsSource, which apparently is a credible news source. 23,800 K through 12 students are homeless in the county. Now, I thought surely that was wrong, so I did some Googling, and apparently it's a valid statistic from last year. And so I don't know what to do with that. It's just in me now, and I've already spoken once at a committee meeting and expressed my concern, but I just am opening my heart to all of you and to all of San Diego. It seemed different for me for all these years when I thought about grown-up adults, you know, struggling on the streets. Somehow I thought they could make it, or, you know, they could ask for their help or whatever. But 23,800 K through 12, I can't get my mind or my heart around that. And I don't know what we're going to do, because I know how complex it is. And I wouldn't want to be sitting in your seats, believe me. And I don't know what to do about it. But is that me? Okay. But thank you so much. Hang in there, and we appreciate you, and let's do something, okay? Thanks.
So that concluded the non-agenda public comment.
Good morning, everyone. I'm filling in this morning for Mr. Gentry, who wants everyone to know that he's doing well and looks forward to seeing everybody at the next board meeting. I have just one item to share with you this morning. On Tuesday, the San Diego City Council approved actions proposed by Mayor Kevin Faulkner through his Housing SD plan to expedite the construction of additional affordable housing. Our CEO, Mr. Gentry, participated in a news conference with the mayor in support of these proposals last week on February 28th. As part of the mayor's Housing SD plan, the City Council approved changes to the city's Affordable Housing Density Bonus Program and the 11th Land Development Code to encourage the creation of more housing and to significantly streamline the development process. The Housing Commission has also recommended actions aligned with many of the proposals approved this week. You'll recall that we released a report last September that identifies the city's need for 150,000 to 220,000 additional housing units by 2028. To meet this need, the city will need to be producing 17,000 to 24,000 units per year. However, in the last 5 years, the highest number of units produced was only 6,400. So the mayor's proposals that were adopted this week are the kind of actions needed by the city to be able to produce the housing that it needs. And this actually concludes my comments.
Let's now turn to the approval of the minutes for two meetings, the regular meeting of February 9th, 2018, and a special meeting of February 9th, 2018. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes? Thank you. Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the regular and special meeting? Commissioner Davis.
Yeah, we'll show you as abstaining then.
So, motion to approve. Second, please. From Commissioner Benito. All those in favor and eligible to vote, please signify by saying aye. Is passed. Thank you. So next on our agenda is the consent agenda. It's comprised of items 100, 101, 102, and 103, excuse me.
Excuse me, before you vote on that consent agenda, or ask for a motion to approve it. We have a request, speaker request form in favor from Catherine Rhodes, who would like to speak, even though this is going on the consent agenda.
Okay. Hello, Catherine Rhodes from Point Loma. And, you know, one thing I also want to mention, all your reports in the back, I think you should have that as an item number two, so people can be able to be allowed to speak on those items or have that as part of your consent agenda also, all the informational reports that nobody has an opportunity to talk to you about. Moving to work, demonstration project. So what is it? It's a wonderful agreement that Rick Gentry, when he first came here, made with HUD. And basically what it says is you don't have to do anything that HUD says to do. You can do literally anything you want. You just have to have this plan that you do have. You can do anything. If you wanted to give people more money, higher than even, you know, there's a lot of stories around. They're true. San Diego, you guys don't give as much money to people. And, you know, a lot of times Rick Gentry goes around and tells people, HUD says you have that people have to only pay 30% of their income maximum in rent. But that's not what you guys do, because you guys have the HUD Moving to Work demonstration project. That means Rick Gentry can charge 80% of somebody's revenue, and he does. You just don't know it because he just throws out that 30%. And then he said, oh, you know, we don't want to do social engineering or something like that by giving people, you know, different amount of monies depending on the zip code. That's just, you know, that's just an Excel spreadsheet. People could do, you know, give whatever they can. It's not really a big deal. And if you wanted to, you could even give them even more money. So if you wanted to, you could just give out $2,000 a month, anything you want. So he's trying to say that you have to, it's limited, and it's less than everybody else gets, and somehow that limit is established by somebody based on something. It's not. It's established by you guys, Rick Gentry, and it's never changed, so please look into it. Thank you. And also want to mention that you can't read the document because you can't read it. I would say look into the report in the appendix. Thank you.
Closes the testimony on item 102.
So now call for motion to approve. Consent agenda, yes. Second. Thank you, Commissioner Davis. And all those in favor, please signify. Aye. Opposed? Approved. We'll now move on to the adoption agenda. And there's only one matter on the adoption agenda, and that's item 104. Because there are a large number of speakers wishing to speak on this matter, we're going to limit the speakers to 1 minute each. So if you're a member of an organization where one speaker will speak on behalf of your group, please let us know who is ceding their time to you before you begin. In no event, regardless of the number of individuals that cede their time, shall an individual be allowed more than 5 minutes, however.
And before we go to the staff report, I'd like to make several technical announcements. First, there's an amended report that exists that changed, that did minor changes to the report. One is changing the council district on page one, and the second was to on page three of the report under item a, to modify the language of little a to state provide environmental services cleanup of the exterior of the premises. The regularity of cleaning shall be evaluated throughout the term of the operation of the center and increased or decreased accordingly based upon need. In addition, the report indicates that there will be a reimbursement by the Housing Commission to the City of San Diego. Instead, if this matter is approved by the Housing Authority and the City Council, the Housing Commission will transfer the money necessary for the City of San Diego to pay the lease payments for fiscal year 18 upon approval by both the City Council and the Housing Authority. With those changes, the board report recommendations remain the same.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen. So we'll now move Vice Chair Ms. Deborah Fischel-Falk and Ms. Lisa Jones will be giving the staff report on this matter. Mr. Jonathan Herrera from the city is also present and is available to answer questions if necessary.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners, Mr. Davis and Mr. Christensen. I'm Deborah Fischel-Falk, Vice President of Procurement and Compliance, and with me is Lisa Jones, our Director of Housing First Administration. We will be presenting to you the proposal for the City of San Diego's new Transitional Storage Center. In his State of the City address in January, Mayor Kevin Faulkner introduced several new city initiatives to address the homelessness crisis in the City of San Diego, including the new Transitional Storage Center. This center will help keep homeless San Diegans' belongings off of downtown streets, sidewalks, and storefronts by providing a safe place for homeless individuals to keep their belongings as they access services, meet with a service provider or doctor, attend classes, or look for work. This meets a need within the homeless community and helps the city provide a clean and sanitary public environment for all San Diegans. The Housing Commission administers the agreements for the City of San Diego's Homeless Shelters and Services Programs through a Memorandum of Understanding that first took effect on July 1, 2010. Among these programs is the existing storage center located at 252 16th Street and is operated by Think Dignity. The opening of this transitional storage center will complement the services provided by the current facility. The current facility has operated successfully for several years, providing 400 bins annually for homeless San Diegans to store their personal belongings. However, it is currently at full capacity and has an ongoing waiting list. With the current facility at maximum capacity, the need for further storage services is evident on city streets, as well as in statistical data. The 2017 point in time count, the annual census of homeless individuals, identified that 3,231 persons were living unsheltered on the streets of San Diego. With belongings safely stored, homeless persons will have the security to allow them to access services, housing placement assistance, and workforce readiness programs. The operator of the Transitional Storage Center was identified through a competitive procurement process. On January 26, the Housing Commission, in collaboration with the City of San Diego, issued a request for proposals for the operation of the new Transitional Storage Center, which would provide up to 1,000 containers for homeless persons to store personal belongings securely and free of charge. City staff previously identified the location of the new proposed storage center after considering several locations throughout the city over the preceding months. The city determined that the facility located at 116 South 20th Street was best suited to meet the requirements of the proposed center as it had already been utilized and equipped as a storage facility. A pre-proposal meeting was held January 31st so potential bidders could walk the site. Representatives from six companies and not-for-profit agencies attended. The RFP closed February 9th with two proposals being received. After careful consideration and negotiations, the selection committee determined that mental health systems should be recommended for award of this contract. Mental Health Systems is a provider experienced in working with the homeless population with client-centered services. In addition, a compelling component of their proposal was their clear commitment to community engagement and having a positive impact on the surrounding neighborhood. Their proposal demonstrated experience working with the homeless population, experience with property management, and a commitment to effective and conscious operational practices. The Housing Commission will oversee tenant improvements for the center, part of which includes focus on beautification with new paint and signage for the exterior of the building and some additional exterior improvements. In addition, office and waiting room improvements will be completed to prevent queuing at the center. I will now turn the presentation over to Lisa, who will walk you through key elements of the program.
Thank you, Deborah, and good morning, commissioners. I'm Lisa Jones, Director of Housing First Administration. As part of the operational standards, good neighbor policies were detailed in the RFP's statement of work and also built into the contract requirements as preventative measures. The initial hours of operation will be Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to noon. These hours can be adjusted based upon need. 24-hour security will be provided at the site location via security guards and monitored security cameras. The contractor must make efforts to ensure clients do not queue, litter, or loiter within a one-block radius of the facility, and the contractor is also required to maintain the center at all times to be free of litter, debris, and graffiti. No alcohol or drug use will be permitted on-site, and the contractor will report all suspected criminal activity to law enforcement. The contractor will be coordinating with the city departments, including the San Diego Police Department and City Environmental Services, to ensure the site and surrounding area are kept clean and free of debris, and to prevent queuing, loitering, or nuisance activities. The contractor will attend community meetings at least quarterly and be receptive to community feedback, incorporating feedback into operational policies when and as determined to be appropriate. The City and the Housing Commission are committed to the successful operation of this new storage center. Mitigating the impact on the surrounding community also is a commitment that is shared by multiple city departments and local homeless service providers. Mental Health Systems, the center operator, will be providing a dedicated contact for community members to provide feedback or express concerns. In addition, the Housing Commission will be providing a dedicated phone line for community members to utilize if they have issues that have not been addressed or resolved by the contractor in a timely manner. The San Diego Police Department will routinely patrol the surrounding area and direct homeless individuals to services and shelter and take enforcement action when necessary. While Mental Health Systems will make every effort to prevent abandoned property, litter, graffiti, and unsanitary conditions, the San Diego Environmental Service Department is committed to addressing these issues in a timely manner if they do arise. And in coordination with community service providers, outreach ambassadors will be active in the area to engage homeless individuals, establish trusting relationships, and inform them of the resources that are available to assist them to transition off of the streets. The proposal before you today would provide for a one-year agreement with Mental Health Systems to operate the Transitional Storage Center with 2 one-year options for the Housing Commission to extend that agreement. The total estimated cost for year one of the center is $1.4 million, which includes more than $125,000 in tenant improvements. The two-year cost is estimated at approximately $1.2 million, and the three-year cost is an estimated $1.2 million. The total cost of the operations of the Transitional Storage Center over a 3-year period, if the Housing Commission exercises both of the extension options, is estimated to be $3.8 million. It is anticipated that local funding will be utilized for this project. A budget amendment will reallocate funds from certain uses, including savings realized on startup and operating costs of the temporary bridge shelters. We request today that the Housing Commission recommend that the San Diego City Council and the Housing Authority of the City of San Diego authorize the execution of a First Amendment to the Memorandum of Understanding between the City of San Diego and the Housing Commission for the City of San Diego Temporary Bridge Shelters to also address the duties of the parties concerning the Transitional Storage Center. In addition, we request that the Housing Commission recommend that the Housing Authority take the following actions, which are described in greater detail in the staff report. Approve a one-year agreement with Mental Health Systems to operate the Transitional Storage Center, with 2 one-year options to extend at the Housing Commission's sole discretion. Authorize the Housing Commission's president and CEO, or their designee, to execute the agreement and other documents necessary to implement these approvals. Authorize the Housing Commission's president and CEO, or designee, to take such actions as are reasonably necessary to implement these approvals. Authorize the amendment to the Housing Commission's fiscal year 2018 budget to allow for funding of the operations, construction for tenant improvements, and lease payments for the Transitional Storage Center, and authorize the Housing Commission's president and CEO to substitute funding sources and or increase funding under the agreement by not more than 20% of the original amount, if necessary, without further action by the Housing Commission or the Housing Authority. If the Housing Commission approves these actions today, this item will be presented to the Housing Authority and the City Council for consideration. We are working with city staff to finalize the date for that presentation. If approved, the Transitional Storage Center would be expected to open by June 1st. Jonathan Herrera, Karen Johnson, Bahija Humphrey, and Assistant Chief of Police Paul Connolly from the city are with us this morning and are available to answer any questions you may have. That concludes our presentation, and we are also happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. I'll now ask our general counsel for the commission, Charles Christensen. I'm sorry. Okay. Did you see someone in the audience? Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all right. Our general counsel for the commission, Charles Christensen, will introduce the speakers on this matter and monitor the allotted time for each speaker. Mr. Christensen.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. As the Chair has indicated, we will allow 1 minute per speaker with the ability to cede time for an aggregate up to 5 minutes for any speaker. We have a number of speakers in favor and in opposition in this room, and then we've got speakers in favor and opposition in the lunchroom. After we take the speakers in this room, we'll take a short break to make sure that we have all the speaker slips from the lunchroom and also from downstairs, because there's an overflow down there as well. After that break, we will continue the public testimony. So we'll now start with speakers in favor. And I'd like to start by calling Jonathan Herrera.
Good morning, members of the board. Thank you for the opportunity to speak for you today and for your consideration of this absolutely critical initiative. The item before you will significantly increase the availability of storage space for homeless individuals to store their personal effects. As was outlined in the presentation, the City of San Diego currently operates a storage facility in partnership with the nonprofit organization Think Dignity, a contract which is administered by the San Diego Housing Commission. The existing facility is at capacity with 400 storage facility units being made available through storage lockers and storage bins. But as was mentioned, that facility is at capacity and currently averages at about a 90-day waiting list. The proposed facility is perfectly suited to serve as this expanded facility for storage, having previously served as a commercial storage facility, having the capacity to serve upwards of 1,000 individuals. While they access services, search for employment, attend school, and things of that nature. This facility also comes fully equipped with a forklift, industrial racks, and sufficient office space. In addition to serving the needs of our unsheltered population, we also have an obligation to the communities where we place these services. The operating contract truly reflects this commitment and includes several good neighbor policies intended to mitigate.
Mr. Herrera, I think you've exceeded the time.
Well, I greatly appreciate your consideration of this important item and look forward to your support. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to speak before you today. I'm the president and CEO of Veterans Village of San Diego, and we operate one of the temporary bridge shelters for our homeless veteran population. When our veterans come into the shelter, one of the main concerns is where can they put their gear? It's important to them. It may be a few items, it may be a lot of items, but it is the only thing they own. And to have this, San Diego's the new transitional storage center is critically important for their peace of mind, so that they know that their gear is safe, its storage that it's being watched, while they can have that peace of mind to be able to access the services that we're providing for them in the shelter, get them on their feet, and then transition them safely into the permanent supportive housing. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Andre Simpson. I'm also with Veterans Village of San Diego. I've been in the business of providing homeless services to veterans for more than 20 years. And the City of San Diego, along with the San Diego Housing Commission, has done a wonderful job in the past few years in terms of removing barriers that prevent homeless individuals from accessing services. And a vote in favor of this project will go a long ways in terms of continuing the positive steps to remove those barriers that will allow homeless individuals to access the services they need. So please, your support would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Next, I call Paul D'Alessio.
Hello, my name is Paul D'Alessio. I'm with Father Joe's Villages. I'll try to speak quick. I don't think quick, so we'll see how it goes. As a social worker, we have observations that we make concerning the needs of people we serve. For this topic, I wanted to address both the things we see, the things in the community. To do this, we informed our clients at this meeting today and enlisted feedback from them for those accessing our storage at the Neil Good Day Center. First, they said it is difficult to keep valuables due to being vulnerable on the streets. This can manifest itself in situations of being physically assaulted to robbed at night. And I quote, "I need a place to store my valuables, important documents, things I don't want to lose are hard to replace. Stealing is rampant on the streets, and people will take things and discard them what they can't sell. If I'm on the streets, people will steal my things while I'm sleeping, even if it's right next to me." Second, our clients are feeling apprehension and concerns due to the stigma of being overburdened with tousled appearance when they're applying for employment, shelter, and housing. And I quote, who wants to go to a place when you have a cart full of stuff, you already have one strike against you? We have a lot of families at the village. Our families have things. Please give us a place to store those things until they can go to their own housing. Thank you.
Morning. Amy Gano, Chief Operating Officer for Alpha Project. When you see people pushing carts down the street and it looks like it's dirty and it's what do you got in there kind of stuff, being in this business for over 20 years, Sue, me and Andre are old, apparently, we know a lot of people have mental health issues, substance abuse issues, this, that, and the other thing. So those valuables are all they have. So even if it's a dirty blanket, we've had people come to our shelters and our other programs that will refuse to come in if they don't get to keep this stuff. So I would urge this, and we support it greatly. Not only will it help clean up the streets, but it'll help people engage in services just like everybody else does. I think every provider is probably going to say the same thing. But anyways, we're in support of this. Thanks.
Good morning, Board. My name is Matt Armstrong, District 9 Community Champion Award recipient. I'm here today to support the project. I brought a picture because pictures are worth 1,000 words. I can't make 1,000 words here. This is the current homeless storage facility in Manzanita Canyon, Swan Canyon, right next to Hamilton Elementary, only about a stone throw away from the school. So if we could do something to help these people and get all this trash out of the canyons, I'd really appreciate it. I go in there daily. It's my hobby now to go in and pick up trash. Personally, myself, I picked up more than 3,000 pounds. I now have a partner with me, and we picked up more than 10,000 pounds out of the canyons. 34 needles Tuesday. Wednesday, a string hanging across with syringes blocking an entryway to an encampment. Please, we need some help. Thank you.
Morning. My name is Carlos Cazeta, co-founder of Love City Heights and a longtime San Diego resident. Although City Heights is not one of the areas where a storage facility for the homeless will be, it does deal with issues of homelessness. Having been homeless myself with the vehicle, I understand firsthand the stress and worry that goes along with not knowing where to park to be sighted, with only being able to go as far as one can carry their belongings and feel like a burden to society as opposed to a productive member. Having the opportunity and option to have a safe place to stay, such as a bridge shelter or transitional camp, being able to work and earn money picking up trash, being able to feel secure about one's vehicle and belongings not only raises one's self-esteem and shines a light on a very dark issue, but it also shows that even though they may be temporary, the city is actively looking for out-of-the-box ideas to tackle this complicated issue. With the leadership of the mayor's office and Councilwoman Georgie Gomez, City Heights has seen positive impacts recently, like cleanups, a targeted effort to keep our parks clean and our streets safe, supporting local organizations and social services that make an important impact on residents.
Thank you. Can you bring this to a close, sir? Your time's up.
Thank you for your time.
Is Catherine Rhodes present? Linda Pennington.
I'm Linda Pennington. I've lived 37 years in the Azalea Park neighborhood in the City Heights area, and my house is about 3 miles from here, so we were very much impacted when they started cleaning up the downtown and the river. We're a canyon neighborhood, and although I have a great empathy with the neighborhood where this is going, I think all neighborhoods should step up and help with this problem. If we don't, you know, I understand that they don't want this storage area next to them. However, we've got homeless living in our streets, our alleys, our canyons, and our parks. And we've had 4 canyon fires in the last few weeks. In the last year and a half, I also work for San Diego Canyonlands. We've had 2,248 volunteers cleaning Manzanita Canyon. We've got 4 canyons in City Heights and 2 miles of Joyce Creek. So this trash study is only Manzanita Canyon. And we removed 290 dumpsters worth of trash and debris from the canyon. We were working on cleaning all these canyons and making them beautiful and creating trails before the deluge of homeless came. But now, you know, we've been overwhelmed, even with all of these volunteers, 2,248 volunteers. And people like Matt Armstrong, he's a rock star. We've all gotten our Hep A shots. We've all been down there with our shovels and cleaning up feces in the canyon, cleaning up needles. And I applaud the city of San Diego to really start working on this problem. And we need this storage facility. And all neighborhoods need to step up and help with this. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm the regional director for At Path. We offer a wide range of services, which include street outreach and interim housing beds. In our experience, it is a significant barrier for clients we serve to enter into interim housing or to work with our outreach staff to get housing ready or to attend appointments to address medical, mental health, and substance use issues if they have nowhere to place their belongings. The storage facility is a great step and another important part of the solution in addressing our homeless epidemic. The storage facility will remove one more critical barrier, and PATH stands in support of this project. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm in favor of this shelter, of this storage unit. I'm District 9. My feeling is, if we want to help the homeless get back on their feet and get necessary assistance, whether it's medical, addiction, or mental, we have to find a place for their belongings. I understand the proposed site has easy access to public transportation, and rules are set in place as to what is acceptable and to keep the area clean and safe for homeowners. I deal with carts, as everyone else does, carts, tents, stuff, feces on a daily basis with no one holding them accountable except for our overworked police department. Clay Park is right by Clay Elementary in Rolando, with only teachers to monitor the facility. I, for one, would like to see us all come together as one in getting this homeless issue resolved. I applaud Mayor Faulkner for coming up with a doable resolution, and I beg of you to approve and come alongside him to get this resolution moving immediately. Unless you have a better plan, I don't see how you can oppose this one. The homeless situation affects us all and has been going on since the late 80s. It needs to come to a halt. I love Mayor Faulkner's statement. There's a place for you, and it's not on our streets. How much is it costing us as taxpayers with the current homeless situation? The police, the paramedics, the fire department, emergency room visits, hospital stays, costs for trash pickup, and we go on and on, plus the health hazards. So let's unite and start the process of giving everyone, homeless business owners and taxpayers, their city back. Now, not tomorrow, today. Thank you.
Do I get to speak again? Thank you for your consideration.
Linda Pennington. Checking on the whereabouts of the other people in favor, and we'll come back to those if they're located. Now I'm going to turn to speakers in opposition that are purportedly in this room. Let's start with Lannon Tarowski. Ashley Zegans. Okay.
Good morning. Hi, my name is Richard. I am a first grader at Our Lady School. The streets by my school used to be very dirty. People do not care. Under the bridge, it was dark and scary. My mom, my abuelita, and our neighbors helped clean it up, but we cannot use our playground because my teacher said it is not safe. When we drive down the street from my... school, I see people doing things they should not do, like going to the bathroom, throwing trash, and using drugs. My mom tells me to close my eyes. I am very sad that nobody or came to my school to ask me or my friends if it was okay to open a place for homeless people to put their stuff away. I want to play with my friends in a safe school. I want to feel safe. Can you please help me do that?
Thank you very much. Adriana Flores.
Just a moment. I was called from the other room.
Okay. All right. And your name is? Okay. And you're?
I'm Landon Tarowski.
Okay, Landon, go ahead.
Real quick, I was seated additional time.
Yeah, so that you have 2 minutes.
I was seated three or four additional pink slips.
I don't have any notation of that. Who were they?
They're all in the other room. I would have to check. I can start and see how long it takes.
Okay, she had these. All right, so you have a total of, you've been seated a time from Jonathan Palomino and Peter Sadrock, and you also have the time from Ms. Flores. So that's a total of 4 minutes.
Okay, great. Thank you all for hearing me today. I just want to make sure and make a quick statement that each member states that they have read and understand every letter of this agreement. I'm going to go through real quick with some couple key points. We are not opposed to helping the homeless in any way whatsoever. It's more or less this location specifically and basically the volume. It's a huge, huge liability, not only for the contractor, the city, but the commission. So I'm going to hit some points real quick. To simply state, the commission can cancel this at any time. So if you do approve or it happens, we could cancel this next week. You have the full authority to do that with written notice and obviously proper protocol. So we are within a school zone. School zones are 300 feet. This encompasses the entire building. So I just want to lay that out first. This is a 600 to 1,000 storage facility within a school zone. So in saying that, the premises to be used as storage facility only. Operation of the storage facility shall not create any condition that amount to a public nuisance and shall not be detrimental to the neighborhood by causing increased noise, traffic, lighting, odor, or by violating any ordinances and laws. Okay, you're going to be bringing 600 to 1,000 people within a school zone every week. To further, these storage containers must be used at least once per week. If you do not, the storage containers are put in a throwaway pile, and you have 2 weeks to come back. So you're requiring the people, the 600 to 1,000 people, to go to that facility every single week, or they lose their privileges. Also, it is not vetted. This is not just for veterans. This is not just for families. This is for everybody. It's sex offenders, drug users. Anybody who declares themselves homeless is allowed a storage container. So I believe we have organizations that would love to take advantage of it, but maybe we rewrite it to say this is for those that most need it. The other item, the liability. Access may not be denied to those expressing signs of inebriation, drug use, or mental health issues. So I may think this person is drunk within a school zone, but I'm not allowed to deny them and get them out of the safe school zone. That's a violation of the school zone. Knowing that, you are required to call SDPD and report an inebriated drug user or such in the school zone, and that must be taken action. If you do not, this is for the contractor and the commission, if you do not, you are in breach, and you need to address the situation. If it is not addressed and proper protocol is not given, and something happens to any of these kids or any neighbor within this one block radius in a school zone, it is the liability of the commission and the contractor and the city. We are not opposed to the storage facility, it just is in the exact wrong spot. We are very compassionate to all the organizations. We are a community that's drawn together to help. We're on the front lines, right, in with Alpha and everybody else. We just are not as organized. So we're coming to you with a lot of people overflowing three floors saying we're compassionate to the homeless, but it's the liability and the safety of the general public. It also says, so this is just to be on record, so if something gets approved and something happens, it is all clearly on record. The failure of the contractor to perform each and every covenant of the contractor in a timely manner and in a good and workmanlike manner in a strict compliance with the requirements of the scope of work, which I discussed, shall constitute a breach under the amendment. In the event life, safety, or general welfare of the clients or the contractor and the general public, the commission shall have the right to terminate the contractor's right to continue proceeding with the notice to cure. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Do I have time for my final statement?
Go ahead.
Thank you. So in closing, if any of these 1,000 clients per week create any nuisance or public safety risk, it is the obligation of the contractor and the commission to terminate the agreement and stop services that is a breach of contract as set forth in the agreement. If service is not terminated and a client causes any harm to any person or any child, the contractor, the commission, and the city will be held accountable for knowingly and willingly creating an environment detrimental to the welfare of the general public.
Good morning. My name is Ralph Hughes. I've been down on 30th and Commercial for 49 years, which is 10 blocks from this particular location. I see the homeless situation. I see what's going on. I filled a form out, not knowing that it was opposition for or against. I just filled one out. My situation is that I believe I'm not against the storage containers. I believe you'll keep everybody in one area and that police will regulate them. It's out of control down there. And the thing about it is there's no housing. If you would make permits easier for these builders to get in there and build this housing and lower the fees, there would be housing. And I've been in the wrecking business for many, many years, and I told the city council that, you know, life's like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the tube, the faster it goes. I'm 75 years old, and what I want is something down. My property is ready for low-income housing. I have cleaned the property up, and builders will come in, but you have to get these people off the street with housing. Thank you.
I actually, time was ceded also by Olympia Beltran. Olympia Beltran, so you know. Good morning. Good morning. I'm Father Neil Jose Wilkinson, known as Father Pepe. I serve at Our Lady of Guadalupe Church, and part of Our Lady of Guadalupe Church property is the lower campus of Our Lady School. This plan to open the storage facility in the property directly adjacent to ours came as a surprise. It was not openly discussed, and we found out almost by accident. We did not have a chance to arrange an alternate presentation, so this blew us away. As a previous speaker said, this is the responsibility of the entire city. It's not the responsibility of Logan Heights. It's not the responsibility of Our Lady's School. It's not the responsibility of our parish. Money is not the issue. The issue is that people are not respectful of our people. And this has happened before, that we are a parish of poor Mexicans, and the city is making a very loud statement that poor Mexicans do not count in this city if this storage facility is left there. I suggest that you look again, try something adjacent to our La Jolla Country Day School. We do want the homeless to be cared for, but they surrounded our school. We've lost a chunk of it. Our tuition is expensive. We have many students on scholarship. We're struggling to stay alive. This decision to push through this storage facility is not helpful for us, and we should be looking in other places in the city. We need storage facilities for the homeless, but not in our neighborhood. Look for other places. There are many homeless around our area, and the city did not clean up after them, so why do we trust that the city will be cleaning up and we'll be monitoring this property? The issue of homelessness has been around a long time. I would suggest a little more concrete thinking, a little creative thinking as to what can be done to resolve this issue. It's not for us to do, and it's not for the city to say to poor Mexicans one more time, you don't count. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Esperanza Gonzalez here? Thank you. You were previously called. You're in favor, is that correct? Thank you.
Buenos días. Mi nombre es Esperanza González y soy residente de City Heights. Nuestra comunidad ha sido impactada por la presencia de las personas sin hogar. Las familias, niños, jóvenes, adultos, escuelas y negocios están impactados. Todos los días miramos los parques, calles, callejones, cañones llenos de basura, personas usando y vendiendo drogas y tomando alcohol. Las familias han dejado de visitar los parques por la inseguridad y riesgo de salud. Esta propuesta es un buen comienzo para facilitarles un espacio donde puedan dejar sus pertenencias. Esta bodega les beneficiaría y les permitiéndoles a una mejor vida. Démosles una oportunidad. Entendemos la preocupación de residentes que viven cerca del lugar. Proponemos que la ciudad considere las siguientes recomendaciones. Tener un número telefónico, el nombre de una persona que reciba reportes de la comunidad y una cámara de vigilancia que se esté monitoreando. Un señalamiento visible al público que describa las reglas del lugar.
Excuse me, the time is up.
Okay.
You
says, good morning. Her name is Esperanza. She's from City Heights. She says that in City Heights, community members, youth, businesses have been impacted by the situation of the homeless situation. So every day they see in the streets, in the alleys, in the canyons, a lot of trash, but also a lot of drug use. And it's impacting the families that they, to the point where they don't want to go to the parks. So it's just more of a what can happen and how just how bad the situation is. So she's recommending that that the city take really strict measures into making sure that the safety of the residents nearby is taken into consideration.
Thank you. Back to speakers in opposition. Myron Taylor. Okay. Is Christian Ramirez in the room? Why don't you come forward, sir?
I believe I have an additional minute from Genoveva Aguilar.
From whom?
Genoveva Aguilar. I'll go ahead and start just to keep the process going. My name is Cristian Ramirez. I'm a resident of Sherman Heights. And we're here today as residents, as compassionate folks, to let you know that we care deeply about homeless folks in our community. And our community has always given has given a helping hand to those in need. That's what makes Sherman Heights and Logan Heights and Barrio Logan one of the finest places to live in San Diego. That's why we're taken aback when we are not consulted as part of the solution, and we're viewed as part of the problem. So when the mayor's office announced that they were going to use a warehouse right in the heart of our community to allow unsheltered San Diegans to store their belongings, and we weren't notified, that was a slap in the face to us. A community that for far too long has been taken advantage of, that for far too long has been this, looked at as though we're not even part of the city of San Diego. So we have an opportunity here, folks, to finally allow all of San Diego, all San Diegans, no matter what zip code they live in, to help address this issue. The burden should not fall yet again on the hardworking men and women of District 8. We need to ensure that the Housing Commission stands with residents so that we could find common sense solutions. But imposing a storage facility without taking into consideration the health risks that our kids are going to be exposed to, without taking into consideration the fact that we just went through a devastating hepatitis A epidemic in the heart of our community, when I have to worry about taking my 3-year-old son to the park and have him drop a toy and put it in his mouth because he'll get sick, these are the kinds of things that we have been experiencing for far too long in District 8. The time has come to treat us as though we're a full part of the city of San Diego. When the mayor's office refuses to sit down with us and talk to us and work with us to find common sense solutions, that is when policymaking goes wrong. Policymaking is about making all of us part of the process. And that's not what happened today. So we oppose this this effort by the mayor's office to impose.
We found your other speaker slip, so you have another minute.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, sir. Good. Well, I'll wrap up soon to allow other residents to voice their concerns. We oppose this measure. This issue has to be addressed not as a piecemeal approach, not as a whack-a-mole. And a problem pops up here, and let's let Sherman Heights deal with it. Let Lowen Heights deal with it. It's not going to happen anymore. It's been generations of our residents who have to endure the kind of mistreatment that has created the kind of devastation in our community that we have fixed time and time again. But no more. Today, faith leaders, education leaders, business leaders, residents are saying no. No to more imposition of misguided policies that use our unsheltered San Diegos as political pawns in this game. Today, we have an opportunity to get back to the table and work on common sense solutions. But imposing on a community that needs desperately better services a warehouse is not the solution. Thank you very much.
Randolph Navarro. Randolph Navarro, please. Michelle Navarro. Mark Harpin. All right.
Hello, my name is Randolph Navarro. I live at 122 South 20th Street, the house right in the middle. So my concern is parking, handicap parking, and the accessibility of our four-way stop. There's only two corners that are handicap accessible, and the other two corners have nothing. Do you believe that no homeless owns a car? Do you believe that no homeless is in a wheelchair? Do you believe that this facility that was meant for giant trucks, not a self-storage, is going to be the right fit? There's three parking spots in my cul-de-sac, and there's four businesses in an adjacent building. You're going to displace our parking, and you're bringing in 1,000 residents to my community. You're bottlenecking our access to the downtown area, which you should be opening up and just welcoming people. Another concern of mine would be we need 500 units. What you're creating is the Costco superstore of storage. Instead of dividing this up into our 18 communities in our county, you're going to bring it into one. I see right through you. You're cleaning up downtown,
sir,
and you're dropping it on the backs of the people. Thank you.
Michelle Navarro.
Good morning. My name is Michelle Navarro. I live at 122 South 20th Street. This is one door away from your proposed facility. I went to a Sherman Council meeting a couple of weeks ago when we first found out about this terrible thing that you're doing. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I told them. Shame on you. Shame on you for trying to come into a community that is just now developing and growing and putting 1,000 clients in the mix where we have to guard ourselves, watch ourselves every minute of every day, as if we don't have to do it already, but even more so now. There's a gallery that just opened up. One of the new bike places that has them all over town just opened up in the facility next door. There's a new brewery. There's all kinds of thriving businesses that want to come in. And if you think they want to come in now, you are wrong. I don't know how to impress upon you that Sherman Heights, Logan Heights, Barrio Logan, whatever it is you want to tag it as, should not be responsible for the brunt of this.
Thank you. Your time is up.
Thank you.
Mark Harpin.
Hi, my name is Mark Harpin. I'm a resident of Logan Heights. If you can't measure it, you don't know it's working. You've provided absolutely no data to demonstrate or even estimate how a storage facility will quantifiably improve the homeless crisis, or how many people this initiative will allegedly transition to permanent housing and when. So how will you know it's working? Good decisions are made based on empirical data, which can be as rudimentary as a simple balance sheet, but you haven't even provided that. Poor and regretful decisions, on the other hand, are made with passion and subjectivity, which is what we have here. We seem to have breezed past the foundation of the argument simply by accepting as immutable fact that a homeless storage facility is necessary, and I'm challenging you to prove me wrong. If you can't measure it, you don't know whether or not it's working.
Thank you. I have a speaker slip from Luz Palomino, who cedes her time to Renee, and I can't read the name. Is Luz Palomino here? She is. We'll hold this. Maybe somebody can get her. Connie Zuniga.
Sylvia Leon and Jim Lawrence have ceded their time to me. That gives me a total of what, 3 minutes?
Pardon me, who's your...
Jim Lawrence and Sylvia Leon.
Do not have speaker slips for them. You know, I've got these are matched. So if they're here, they can sign a speaker slip. I'll be happy to give you 3 minutes. Otherwise, let's start with your 1 minute. And if somebody's here and can give us those speaker slips, we'll increase your time.
They're all in the other room.
Okay. All right. Can you bring that up? Thank you.
Okay. I need another minute. 4 minutes? Do I have 4 minutes? How much time do I have?
I've got your speaker.
I'll assign my time here as well.
Thank Who are you? Okay.
Connie Zuniga. I'm a property owner on Commercial Street where I grew up. My family settled in Logan Heights in 1912. I know the neighborhood and all the issues that affect the community. The community ladies and I have been working this issue since 1988, and it's the same thing over and over. We want to make it clear that we are not opposed to the homeless. We are opposed to the site. I called the Unified School District and asked for the total population of the 10 schools in the area, 2,118 students. There are also several charter schools and one Catholic school with two campuses. Your storage area is 15 feet away from Our Lady's playground. I repeat, 15 feet. That school is very dear to me. Class of 1949. To save you the math, I'm 83. The playground has been closed for several years because the homeless are in the alley next to the playground. They sleep, they urinate, and defecate there. Can you imagine the smell? When the principal, Noel Bishop, takes the prospective students' parents on a tour of the area, he loses them once they go to the South Campus because they see the homeless encampment there, and they're not going to spend $6,000 a year per student to put them in an environment like that. We struggle with the school financially. We have galas. We have events to raise money so that the children who can't afford to go have a Catholic education have an opportunity. You want to bring in 600 homeless? The tent on 16th and Newton, steps away from the Monarch School for the Homeless and the Barrio Logan College Institute, has 300 homeless. Once the tent closes, as soon as the weather gets better, it's going to close down. That brings in 300 more into our neighborhood. That's a total of 900. Bridge Housing on Commercial Street has 524 residents, men, women, and children, one block away. The homeless we have on the street are on the street not because they don't have a job or a roof over their heads. They are drug addicts, and many have serious mental health problems. Many are violent and dangerous. Most are SSI and receive at least $800 a month. What do they do with their taxpayer money? They buy drugs. They have brought hepatitis into our neighborhood. The safety, health, and quality of life for our children is an ongoing problem. This is not acceptable. The police department on 25th and Imperial, we're understaffed by 251 officers, and we are told that the police are going to have more patrols on the street. Where are they going to get them in? I guess we're going to have a lot of overtime. There is a simple solution. It's called equal distribution. Step up to the plate, San Diego. The burden of the homeless is not the sole responsibility of Logan Heights. Take your share of the homeless. Your vote today will tell us whether you consider the safety and quality of life of children in our community is more important than storage for the homeless. We are putting you on notice. You can expect protest march, press conferences, and land use attorneys. Thank you.
Christian Ramirez. Pardon me? Brittany Casas. We'll put this to the side and wait.
Call me earlier. Renee Guzman?
Yes.
Or follow me now?
Yeah, so there you've got, looks like you've got two additional minutes ceded to you. Okay. So 3 minutes.
Well, good morning. I'm here talking on behalf of our residents in the Sherman Hyde, Logan Heights, and Grand Hill area. 2 years ago, we went to the police department with concerns about the growing crime that was happening in our community, and we wanted to kind of voice that at the captain's meeting. When we voiced it, they kind of looked puzzled. They told us that there was no issue according to them. There was no reports. When I talked to the captain said, hey, you know, you need to engage the community if you guys really want something done. So 2 years forward, now we have 600 working residents in our group. It's Compassion Solutions. And what we want to do is find solutions that are compassionate, but we want to be part of the solution. We want to be part of be engaged and be respected. And the way this was presented to us was not respectful of us. The way it's going to impact our community is just going to make it more dangerous for us, more work for us. We're actively cleaning our streets, reporting graffiti, reporting crime in our community. And this is a countywide issue that is now being brought back over to us, and we're going to hold that burden. So we're asking you not to approve this today. Please don't approve this today. I know that you have already discussed this in the past, but please do not approve it today. Take a stand. Let us make sure that our community continues to stay and grow safely. Thank you.
Thank you. Kristen Dennis. Rigo Delgado. And Richard Cueva Sisto, was that? Okay. And your name is? Thank you.
I represent, I am a resident of Sherman Heights, as well as a mother of Our Lady's School. We would have liked to have more of our children today, but it is our priest's retirement mass, and so that is why they have gone. We want to say that this is not okay. We have long been ignored, and this facility is directly across from a playground. You are endangering our children's welfare and preventing them from having a safe educational environment, a school that has been a light in a community that has long been ignored. We encourage you to look at other locations. This is not the right location. This was a shock to many residents, and we were not notified. You insist that you will have community participation. That has not been the case. There has been one meeting, and I have not seen one resident from our neighborhood stand up and approve this location. We implore you to vote no. Thank you very much for your time.
Simone Utabor. C2. Okay. And Brittany Casas. Brittany here. All right, now we're going to go to, is George Blackwood here?
I just conceded time from multiple people. How much do you have on record for me?
Yeah, I've got, I have yours and two others.
Rom.
Joe Searcy Hall, and I've got one from Marcia Leon.
There's also Terry and Aaron, and then David Gap and Jenna Gap.
Okay, so so you've got a total of four plus yours. You have 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you. My name is George Blackwood. I live in the neighborhood, Logan Heights, with my wife and two little kids. We're excited to be able to buy a house in San Diego, and we do everything that we can to try to better the neighborhood, organize the cleanup once a month where we go around and pick up trash. We meet the neighbors, and we're trying to make it just generally a better place to live. You know, the neighbors that I've met are great people. You know, it may look like we are opposed to helping. We're not. These are some of the most compassionate people that I've ever met in my life. Very caring, very loving, very thoughtful. We're not opposed to this idea as a solution. We're opposed to the location. The city states that there's 1,300 unsheltered homeless in downtown. Now, mind you, this location is not in downtown. This location is in Logan Heights, right next to Sherman Heights. It's a single-family home neighborhood amongst schools and churches. The only other service that offers this is three blocks away. So you have 100% of your capacity in a radius of three blocks for a regional problem. I think that's a huge issue. The current capacity is at 400, and there's a wait list. Mr. Herrera loves to say 90 days, but in actuality, the wait list, if you look at it from a different perspective, is 150 people. So within a three-block radius, you have a demand for this service in excess of your supply of 150 people. What you're proposing to do, or the city is proposing to do, and is in front of you right now, is that you want to increase the supply of this particular service, which is a homeless service. You know, it's a homeless service offered by a provider its core competency is homeless services. You want to offer this service in six times of the current excess that's required. That's going to bring more people into our neighborhood. This is not solving the problem of the immediate people in our neighborhood, which, by the way, is not the state of people naturally. It's systematically been pushed to south and east downtown. So these people didn't become homeless in our neighborhood. They've been pushed there. And now that you've pushed them there and we've had to deal with that, you're offering to then give them more services where they've been pushed and telling us that it's because they're there. We don't really believe that. This facility is for storage, but the people aren't going to live very far away from their storage. And when these tents close, Where do you think they're going to go? They're not going to go live in La Jolla or Del Mar or South Bay. You know, they're going to be around their stuff. So this magnitude, the location is not appropriate, and the magnitude is definitely not appropriate. And now I want to get into something a little more technical with Mr. Christensen. In the laws, you know, state in the California Code, you know, 13.1.5, because of the grid laid out in grid 15, this is a CN14, the commercial neighborhood use, right? You're saying that you have, or the city is saying that they have a kind of a grandfather clause because this is commercial storage. We don't believe it's commercial storage. We believe that this is a homeless service and should be treated as such. The core competency of the people that are providing the service are homeless service providers, not public storage, not Mayflower. This is not commercial storage. And even if you can somehow convince yourself that this is storage and not a homeless use facility, the regulations in for non-conforming use in Municipal Code 12.7.01.01 state, the intent of the procedure is to allow certain potentially capable, compatible, previously conforming premises and uses subject to special regulation and condition unless the previous conforming premise or use adversely impacts the public health and safety and welfare. Now, I have a petition signed by hand and online for close to 500 people that think that this location does indeed provide for a complete nuisance of our public safety, our public welfare, and the public health. Thank you.
Pardon me. Excuse me. Sir? Do you want to introduce those into the record here?
I don't have copies, but
that's fine. I just wondered if you wanted part of the record. We need them. If okay. You don't, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'd like them as record. I can probably get copies of them after their record.
All right, thank you. Noel Bishop. While they're coming in, Mr. Bishop, do you have any other time ceded to you? Or?
I believe that I did, yes.
Do you know who?
I do not. every parent that we have up here did probably sign one for me.
Okay.
My wife, Catherine Bishop.
All right. Well, I don't have that. So after you speak, if you could get us the.
Sure.
We're going to give you 5 minutes.
Thank you. Again, my name is Noel Bishop. I'm the principal of Our Lady School. The school in question here, about 15 feet from where this facility is our playground. These are the students that are affected by this on a daily basis. These students came here today because they want to support us as a school community to make sure that this facility isn't put in place here. Again, our school community is not against helping the homeless. We are against helping the homeless right next door to us. And I think that if you look at the situation, it's just not the right place. They've really done a good job recently of cleaning up the neighborhood. When the school year started, it was terrible. There was homeless everywhere. And they were, on a daily basis, I would walk around and see needles, alcohol bottles, used condoms. And I would have to deal with the defecation and urination that goes along with that in our neighborhood. There was a cleanup process, and they did a good job. But I think that this is just an open invitation for bringing all of this back into our neighborhood and our school community. Again, if this was in your neighborhood, you would want to say something as well. And you'd want to defend your territory. And that's what we're doing today as a school community, is defending our territory and making sure that this doesn't happen here. There are other places to put this. And we feel that you need to search for another place, because it's going to destroy our school community. It's going to destroy our parish community. And we really look to you to make the right decision. One of the gentlemen said from Father Joe's Village that stealing is rampant on the streets. And we know that. We see that every day when people steal money from the poor box in front of our church. And that's crazy. And these kids have to see that on a daily basis. And I think that you really need to look deep into your hearts. Look at the faces of these kids. These are the kids that are going to be affected by this. It's not another group. These are the kids that are going to be affected by this facility. And we ask that you rethink the whole situation and find a better place. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Do I have more time?
I don't know. Was there more time? 2 minutes.
Can you come here? Yes. Sorry.
Hello, everyone. My name is M. Vertiz. I am in the 8th grade, and I am a resident near where this Mayflower project wants to be put into action. And I think it is very wrong that we're thinking about it, because all these homeless people, for me at least, it causes a lot of fear. I'm afraid to go out to do normal things in my own neighborhood, to go out for runs or for walks, or in fear that I'm going to be hurt or taken, or something terribly wrong is going to happen to me. I'm afraid because one time a homeless person was looking right out my window, probably looking to see if anyone was home to come in for a robbery. If all these storage bins are coming in and all these homeless people are basically being invited, it's like another invitation for a robbery or an attack to happen, not just to adults or to students like us. And it's wrong. I strongly suggest this plan doesn't go into action for things to be prevented, like how I said, an attack or anything like that. Our kids at South Campus should not see that. Like we said before, the feces or the urine or drugs, I've seen needles. I've seen that. I've been exposed to that. If we don't let it happen, our South Campus children won't have to see it either. I don't want them to see that. We shouldn't have to be exposed to that just because we're Logan Heights. And that's it. So, thank you.
Brittany Kazas, who has time seated from Sarah Anderson.
And Kristen Dennis.
And Kristen who?
Yes, Kristen Dennis.
Okay, 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you. My name is Kristen Dennis, and I'm part of an organization called San Diego Made, and these are my colleagues as well as Brittany Kazas, who's not here. We are recently working on leasing the property next door to the facility. You can read all about our organization, but I want to make sure I can get to some points before I talk a little bit about us. But the city has enacted policies as early as 1995 that promised to decentralize homeless services out of the areas east of downtown and increase community involvement and transparency in the decision of where to place these facilities. However, they have not held up to their promises. In addition, Mayor Kevin Faulkner, the SD Housing Commission, and its CEO, Richard Gentley, and U.S. representatives spearheaded an effort for the area to become a federally promised zone in 2016. In the initiative to build the homeless storage facility in the proposed location proceeds, it will compromise the success and statistics of a federally designed program from which the mayor himself, the Housing Commission, and U.S. representatives fought to gain for this area. A little bit about the Promise Zone. The area of the proposed storage facility is in a rare federally designed Promise Zone until 2026. In 2016, the federal government designated a 6.4 square mile targeted area that spans East Village and Barrio Logan, East Encanto, and Emerald Hills as a Promise Zone. There are only 4 Promise Zones in California, plus only 22 in the entire United States. This means the area is set to get funds from the federal government to create jobs, improve economic activity, reduce violent crimes, expand educational opportunities, access top-quality affordable housing, and promise health and access to health care. The City of San Diego and its partners have committed to the U.S. Department of House and Urban Development, among other goals, to work to address the severe problem of 40.1% unemployment rate among youth ages 16 to 24, rising crime, and the lack of affordable housing. The centralization of the homeless population to the area will be in direct conflict with the Promise Zone. Mayor Kevin Faulkner spearheaded the effect for the area to become a Promise Zone, and the San Diego Housing Commission is a partner in this endeavor. The CEO of the SD Housing Commission, Richard Gentley, submitted a letter of support for the City of San Diego's Promise Zone application. The Promise Zone also has the strong support of U.S. Representative Scott Peters, 52nd District, and Juan Vargas, 51st District. If the initiative to build the homeless facility in the proposed location proceeds, it will compromise the success and statistics of a federally designed program from which the mayor himself, the Housing Commission, and U.S. representatives fought to gain for this area. They should be held accountable to the federal government. We have actually also contacted HUD and sent them this information, and we are ready to fight to take this away. We are for homeless. We are for helping the community. Taking 1,000 units, 1,000 homeless people and condensing into one area will actually not help people seeing needles. It won't help people seeing trash or fires or crime.
Thank you. Your time is up.
That was 3 minutes? Okay. Thank you. Please check us out, San Diego Made. We can bring a lot to the community.
Damon Stannard, and you have time seated from Paul Sweeney.
Okay, well, thank you. My name is Damon Stannard. My family owns property on Commercial Street, roughly 2 acres, and we currently operate a business there. So this came to my attention about a week ago, which really caught me off guard, and reading through all the material, my concern is that this wasn't properly vetted. It seemed like it was rushed. And talking to other property owners, it seems that this is kind of being forced upon us, you know, real quickly. So I'm here to urge you all to oppose this plan and to go back to properly vet it. I do believe that this is the wrong location. A number of us worked with various planning groups to took a lot of cooperation from business owners, and because the place was currently zoned is commercial or is industrial, but through all the hard work, we agreed to the plan to make it a mixed use with business, and affordable housing, 44 units per acre. So at least for our families on property, we could potentially be responsible for upwards of 100 low-income housing on our property. I think with other property owners in the block, probably roughly about 175 units. But we need cooperation from the Housing Commission here to work with us. And by putting this transitional storage place on Commercial Street defeats the whole purpose of what we're trying to do to cooperate with developers and also with the city's vision for a revitalized Commercial Street area. A little nervous, sorry. So anyways, I really beg you and plead with you to not vote for this proposal and to properly vet it. I think it'd be better served in a different location. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker is Robert Leaf. Mr. Leaf has time ceded to him from Vincent. I can't read the last name. I think it's Noso. Susan Sweeney. And Eugene Myers.
Okay.
So that's 4 minutes.
Yeah. With that little time, I have property on Commercial, and I'm a trained scientist. I want to point out that, firstly, we haven't had a map showing all these things in context. That is poor engineering, and I've been a professor of engineering. So, one. Two, you have a paradox that if we do it right for the homeless, we'll have the homeless from the rest of the United States here and then into L.A. because we'll be doing the same thing. The problem with half the homeless is we haven't got adequate jobs, and I see a port here that's practically asleep and somebody should do something. We have limited manufacturing here, and we need more to get jobs. Now, how do we pay for the homeless? We can go a couple in there. It says, how do we pay? And you have to have upper-class housing. We want people who will spend a lot of money and pay a lot of taxes. New York is running a good part of the place on Bloomberg, getting all these guys to get $30 million apartments. Well, we have a better climate. So when you're thinking about where you're going to put things, think of bringing in the money to pay for useful things like the homeless. Now, what you're doing, if I can ever figure it out, is I look, you know, less developed countries usually do a lot of things better than highly developed countries. The Jordanians, it was up on television, and there is a picture of that. Go on a little bit. There. They're handling huge populations, and they've ever built things. We should not separate the homeless from access to their goods, because anyone goes traveling knows you always forget something. That they have to have their stuff, a place to sleep that's decent, and of course toilets. We seem to be going. Now I propose a compromise. Can the containers be moved? I can see going on, but limiting them to being there for a couple of years and finding a place where they really belong. It looks like the people who made the containers know something. And let's use the time to get it right. This is not a thought-out proposal. This is somebody trying to cut a deal. And what we need is a thought-out proposal, and it has to be probably put east of the city, and then try to have a little rapid transit, a bus or two, to get them into work. You also have to get a hold of the medical schools, particularly the Department of Psychiatry, who have addiction. They're trying to medicate themselves. Let the professionals medicate them. Thank you. And remember the drawings.
Okay, all right. All right, that concludes the testimony in this room. We have speaker slips for the lunchroom, and we have speaker slips as well for the academy. But we're going to take a 5 or 10 minute break right now to let everybody else get their speaker slips in. After 5 minutes, and after that time, we'll complete the testimony. Sharina Carball. Sharina Carball. What's your name? Okay, I have you. And so, Mr. Perez, you then have 2 minutes.
I've spent the last 4 days cleaning up sleeping bags from underneath the house, debris, feces, graffiti, condom, and garbage from our new home, so I can empathize with the community's concerns. But as an East Village resident for the last 11 years, I'm also familiar with the dynamics of sharing a neighborhood with those that could use an opportunity to get ahead. I think that downtown locations like the old Central Library would be better suited for a storage facility. I could just go through the four quick reasons. One is clean and safe. Sherman Heights and Logan are not in the clean and safe area. Downtown, when you have an issue, you call them, they show up. They're trained, there's patrol support, they're familiar with the issues, and there's a dedicated funding source for that. There is not once you cross the freeway. Two is the types of housing and buildings downtown. In a high-rise, there's secure access buildings. There's 24-hour security. I just think that downtown is better equipped to handle the coexistence with the homeless. Three is access to opportunity. A site like the old library is directly across the street from the post office. Once your belongings are secure, having a mailing address is also a step forward. In addition, proximity to City College could give access to resources, once again, to help people get ahead instead of just surviving. In addition, the community benefits that are being proposed for this storage facility would also benefit a block like where the old library is if they had the same type of community benefits of extra surveillance, cleaning, et cetera. So the same types of community benefits could also benefit downtown if a downtown site was looked at. And then finally, just kind of have a real estate background, and it just makes more sense to put the facility in something the city already owns, like the library, as opposed to something they would have to lease out, like this old Mayflower site. So just in summary, I'd just like to ask that a downtown site be considered rather than one in the residential community. Thank you.
Richard Walker. Richard Walker. Blanca Palomino. Blanca Palomino. Laura Leal. Laura Leal, Rita Verdon, Rita Verdon, all these names that we're calling, they aren't responding, but they put in a slip, will be included in the record as being opposed. It is. And for the record, we have 17 in favor slips from the San Diego Achievement Academy on the first floor. I won't read all those names, but they will be referenced in the record. Yeah, they don't want to speak. Irma Vertez, Vertiz. Irma. Irma had time ceded from Tom Fuller. I have from the lunchroom, Sherry T. Thank you.
Hi. I'm Sherry Tagliani. And I'm also buying minutes, if that's okay, from my husband, Paolo Tagliani. And I put a slip in there.
I have that. So you have 2 minutes.
Okay, thank you. So I'm trying to put it all down here. My name is Sherry, and I live on 705 Beardsley, two blocks from the facility, from the storage facility they want to put up. And the people that are in favor of the facility are doing a good job making it sound, they're doing a good job painting a pretty picture of how it's going to be. But that's not how it is. The storage facility on 16th Street proves that it did not work. There was so much trash piled high, feces and urine, and it was horrible that you couldn't even walk past the bridge to go to Petco Park, go to the convention center where I work, etc. And now they want to put 1,000 storage bins for the people that go around basically collecting things in their cart and putting it there as trash, basically. And I do have a heavy heart for the homeless, but as I said, it's to me, it's not a good idea. I've seen people shooting drugs in their chest, in their arms as I walk by, and one of my main concerns is the children. The little girl that spoke earlier, Emma, that is my neighbor, and I'm the one that saw the man looking in her house when they were playing, and I called the mom and said, hey, there's a man looking in your house. This is one of the transients that go by. And I've seen a guy, excuse my language, but sexually touching himself when I go to the store to go shopping. And there's the Lady Guadalupe Church is right there in my neighborhood, too, right across the street. And there's homeless all over the place there and breaking into houses or breaking into garages. What else? So the city did a great job cleaning up the area under the bridge during the hepatitis epidemic. But now they're going backwards by bringing 1,000 people back to the neighborhood. And they're pushing them from the bridge into our neighborhood, which is a subdivision of homes. Most of us are homeowners. My husband and I just bought our home. And it's becoming a nightmare. Instead of a dream home, it's becoming a nightmare with what they're proposing to do. And it's getting worse lately because the police are arresting the people under the bridge or making them come further into our neighborhood, which is Sherman Heights and Logan Heights. And I had so many things I want to say. Most of the people already said what I wanted to say, but I just think that they could be, instead of $4 million for this,
if you could just wrap it up, your 2 minutes are up.
I think that they could be spending it on housing for them instead of a big storage site. I think it's a waste of money, and I think it's very dangerous for our children. And I'm scared for my life, to tell you the truth, and for the children. So
thank you very much. Now we're going to lunchroom, both in favor and opposed. Assistant, and one that unfortunately didn't get heard here earlier, Assistant Chief Connolly, and has time ceded from Francis Barraza. So 2 minutes.
Good morning, Commissioners. I am Paul Connolly, newly promoted to Assistant Chief. I was the former captain of Central Division, which is the patrol division, which is responsible for the downtown East Village, Logan Heights, Sherman Heights areas. As of tomorrow, we are starting a new division. Our new chief of police, Chief Neslight, has created a new division called the Neighborhood Policing Division, and it is specifically designed to address homeless and quality of life issues in our communities. And with that, I will have all the resources needed to make a more positive impact on the homeless that are affecting our communities. So I know there's a big concern about what the enforcement is going to look like in this area immediately around the new storage facility. The police department believes, based on our work dealing with the homeless in the East Village and the Sherman Heights, Logan Heights area, that this is the next step needed to properly address the homeless issues in these communities. As you've heard, citizens are already concerned about the homeless that are in the neighborhoods along with the extra property. And what we've learned from dealing with this is we were able to get a lot of them off the street into our temporary shelters, but now the remaining individuals just have a hard time separating from their property. So we need this storage facility so the homeless have a place to put their property and they can get the services they needed. So we are going to be working closely hand-in-hand with the security company at the storage facility to ensure that the community concerns are not realized. We understand the concerns. We value their input. We are going to increase enforcement. We're going to have our homeless outreach team, our quality of life teams, and our regular patrol at Central Division increase enforcement in that area to ensure that these homeless people are not continuing to reside in their neighborhoods. Along with that, we're going to continue to have community meetings as this storage facility is stood up to keep the communication open with the community and be apprised of what their concerns are and have tools in place to address their issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much. In favor, Martha Welsh, please. Martha Welsh, she's still here. We'll register in favor. Tracy, and Audilette, A-U-D-I-L-E-T-T. Is Tracy here? She's in favor. The register is in favor, but not here. Again, from the lunchroom, Alexandra Barenter. Is Alexandra here? Okay, great. Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Alexandra Barenter, and I'm here today on behalf of the Downtown San Diego Partnership to support the item before you. As you may know, our Clean and Safe programs, maintenance, safety, and homeless outreach team work with our city's most vulnerable on a daily basis. Storage space for homeless San Diegans enables individuals to seek services while providing a safe place for their belongings. With Think Dignity's facility at capacity, our team truly understands the need for additional storage space. As such, our Downtown Planning and Public Policy Committee voted yesterday to support the approval of a contract to operate the Transitional Storage Center. Our committee also encourages city leaders to identify other locations throughout the city for additional storage space. We urge you to move this forward, and thank you for your time.
Carlos Quesada. Carlos? All right, now going to those in opposition. Laura Leal. Laura Leal. This is hard to read. Rita Verdon. Rita Verdon.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Peter Verdeen, and I'm an 18-year resident homeowner of Sherman Heights. I'm here to ask you to reject the site on the basis of our true vulnerable residents, which are the children that live within five blocks, three elementary schools from the proposed site. You heard we started this meeting with RB's story of, you know, he was reading, but I actually heard him when he first talked about the story of, you know, what he sees every day when he goes to school. I mean, these children are being faced with sex offenders. I understand that many of them are homeless, just like everybody else has said. We're all compassionate. You know, I'm a previous, you know, St. Vincent de Paul volunteer for years, and we are compassionate. We are more compassionate about these children, and we clearly don't understand how you can make the extreme mistake of putting the site within children, within walking distance, adjacent to the site. If you haven't been there, just walk around. There's the elementary school. Thank you for your time, commissioners.
Thank you very much. Emma Vertiz. Vertiz. Emma, V-E-R-T-I-Z. She has time seated from Tom Fuller. Is she not present? All right. Register opposed. Marta Flores.
Good afternoon. My name is Marta Flores, and I'm a parishioner, a parish council member at Our Lady of Guadalupe Church. And this is definitely a moral issue. You've gone against all the processes that the city has in place, and you're trying to force something on that affects the quality of life in our community. But I also want to draw your attention to your contract agreement number 2, in which the statement on page 21 of 30 says, clients are not allowed to use the restrooms on the premises. What's up with that? All these people are going to go where to the bathroom? Please note that you are not in due process, and this is so oppressive to our neighborhood and the quality of life that we want to live in the Logan Heights, Barrio Logan, Sherman area. Please note what you're signing when you agree to this today. This is against human principles. Please reconsider. This is not appropriate.
Thank you. Renee Mathis, in favor. Is Renee here?
Memphis, and I'm a resident at St. Vincent de Paul. Excuse me, I'm just a little nervous. So, this is Miss Michelle. She's a housing navigator, and I'm in favor of the storage situation. I have listened to what everyone has had to say about this, and not every homeless person is a bad person. Everyone has different, you know, situations. Everyone's situations are different, and I came to St. Vincent because I lost my home. I didn't, you know, have a place to live, and St. Vincent, they have, you know, helped me to get back on my feet. And so I'm just here to say that, you know, homelessness is everywhere. It's not just here in downtown. I understand it's worse here than other, you know, areas, but I think they deserve to have a storage where they can, you know, storage their items.
Thank you very much. Your time is up.
Thank you, sir.
All right. That I'm going to read four opposition people again to see if they're here. Laura Leal. Rita Burden. Emma Vertis. And Tom Fuller. All right. That concludes all the speaker slips that we have. So, Madam Chair, the public testimony is closed.
I actually have a question Captain? For Deputy Chief? What's the official title? I'm sorry. And I'm not trying to demote you. I apologize. I just had a quick question about what authority you have when items are left on the street to remove those items, to have them thrown away. What authority do you have?
Get involved in doing anything with unattended property. There's actually a settlement called the Isaiah Settlement, which prohibits the police department from dealing with unattended property. But we do work closely with the city's environmental services, and on a daily basis, our environmental service teams are out posting areas where there is abandoned or unattended property, and then 72 hours later, they come and they clean that up. Now, a lot of times, we are with environmental services to kind of act as a security element for them. And as far as trash, there's other resources in place beyond environmental services. There's Urban Core, there's the Alpha Project, and as you heard, in the downtown area, we also have Clean and Safe that all work together to help clean up the trash on the streets.
Great. I think I have to start by saying I wish that better outreach in advance had occurred. I can understand the frustration that the residents, particularly the school and the church, have. You know, as the principal did say, if this was in your neighborhood, you would speak out as well. I don't think there's any neighborhood that would react with excitement to this issue. But am I correct in understanding that part of the placement choice was due to proximity to services? Because if we were to remove it further away from services or existing programming, it would go unused, and that would just not be a good use of our resources. Is that correct? Or what criteria did go into choosing the site?
Jonathan Herrera, Senior Advisor on Homelessness with the City of San Diego. So the selection of this site really came at the conclusion of a 6 to 8 month process where the city was evaluating some of its existing assets and trying to evaluate whether or not those could be utilized for this purpose. It included the old downtown library, Johnny Brown's, even Golden Hall, all which would have required several million dollars of capital improvements as well as several months' worth of time to get these facilities operational. And thanks to the continued vigilance of our real estate assets department, when this property became available, not only did we identify it as perfectly suited in terms of the facilities that were available, but it would be able to be available to us in a rather quick amount of time. So those are the leading criteria and why we chose this facility.
So, you know, I just want to pull the perspective back a little bit. The charge and mission of this general effort is to address the homelessness crisis that's currently happening within our city. So I understand this as a very contentious portion of it, but really the goal here is to get homeless people housed. And I can understand and I appreciate the level of relief that it must provide our unsheltered residents to know that their things are safe, what little that they still own, to provide the hope going forward that what they have they can continue to keep and build off of. This isn't an incredibly easy decision, but I would move to support the proposal. And I think it's worth asking our friends on the police side as well and the city to really commit clearly to working with our residents and the church and keeping those lines open. I don't know how frequently they need to be spoken to, how much more we can empower our community residents to participate in this process, because I understand they're feeling disenfranchised from it. But I would like to find a way to better include and incorporate their feedback and their concerns, because they are pretty well-founded, I believe.
That's all part of your motion, correct? Thank you. Second? Discussion.
This is quite a dilemma. It really is, because my heart goes out to the homeless, and I think storage really helps them get back on their feet, and I think it's important. I can see where centrally locating so many people in one particular area would be detrimental to the communities. I'm curious, and I don't know who should answer this, how much research was gone into deciding to put all these in one location instead of smaller supportive services that would not affect the community so much. I think this whole situation sounds like, and it's terrible to say because I know the homeless need storage and I'm all for that, but I can see where this is too close to schools. And it is really affecting the neighborhoods that it's this large facility is going to be in, bringing in 1,000 people homeless. Would you like to discuss that further?
Yeah, so although the facility does have the capacity to serve up to 1,000 individuals, we're going to take a very phased-in implementation of the availability of that storage space so that way we can determine whether a change in hours, operations, or the capacity of the facility needs to be changed. So that's a factor we will continually to monitor. And to your previous comment about continuing to analyze additional facilities outside of the downtown area, Barrio Logan, Sherman Heights community that can serve this purpose, we wholeheartedly agree. And we'll continue to work outside to identify areas outside of the community, including Uptown, Mid-City, Southeastern San Diego, and our beach communities, which are in desperate need of the services as well.
I know it's desperate services for the homeless, and I appreciate their need, desperate need for storage. I just don't feel comfortable agreeing to such a mass project as this, to have 1,000 people possibly join into communities that will affect. And when they all discuss the children seeing the hypodermic needles and the condoms and the filth and all that kind of stuff, it is just broadened to a magnitude. I mean, it's just surely I hate to – I would have to – wish I knew how much research was really done to this. Would you like to speak to that, sir?
I've been engaged.
Excuse me. The public testimony is closed. This questioning is for the questioning is for staff, and
they told me not much.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd have to disagree. In my presentation, I did indicate that there was no formal evaluation of previous facilities to be able to present to the community. But we did take efforts to analyze existing assets that the city had for this purpose, and we'll continue to do so.
Okay, well, I don't think I can say any more. I definitely am opposed to putting such a large facility right within and next door to schools. So thank you.
There are no easy issues when it comes to affordable housing or the issue of homelessness. There aren't now. It's not just a San Diego challenge. It's become a national challenge. There's been themes here, and I do want to echo them, because this is a serious matter, and we take it as such. I've heard repeated use of words like dignity and need and safety and health issues, opportunity available for those that are unhoused, and issues of discrimination, potential dumping in communities, as well as compassion. And I got to tell you, I do have a great deal of appreciation, because even in opposition, almost everybody mentioned compassion. And so that gives me a great deal of pride in this community. It does. My duty here as a commissioner, though, and I need to be very clear about this, is to understand the exact decision that's being made today. Not the decision that I think may be being made, but the exact decision. So is it okay if I ask you a few questions, Council, just to clarify what?
Absolutely.
And, of course, staff, please weigh in, because I know we've all researched this thoroughly. The subject that really seems to be at the crux of this, and I think that Commissioner Davis mentioned, is location. That's the number one topic we seem to hear. There are other concerns, contract concerns, concerns about access to restrooms, concerns about that we recognize that those that are unhoused need storage so they can get some type of housing and services that they need, size issues that were just mentioned. But the crux of the dynamic here is about location. That's what everyone's talking about. So I want to understand it. Could you give a little overview of exactly what's being approved today as per that location?
Yes, thank you. When this whole process came about, there was a discussion of who would do what. What would the city do? What would the housing commission do? And at that point, it was determined that the city would locate the site and potentially enter into a lease with somebody that owned property. Housing Commission, by the time the Housing Commission was brought into that decision had been made. And the commission was given the duty of bringing forward an agreement for an operator if the city council approves the lease. The Housing Commission has nothing to do with the approval of the lease. That's within the purview of the city of San Diego. That matter will be heard concurrently with this matter. If the lease isn't approved, this operating agreement is meaningless. It would not go forward.
And part of that is us giving the approval for potential future funding to do so.
That's correct. So the Housing Authority will be asked to amend a budget to allow for the cost to pay for the lease by the city of San Diego, but that's the sole involvement that the Housing Commission will have with the lease. It will, in fact, oversee the operations through the memorandum of understanding with the city of an operator if, and this is a big if, the lease is approved. The whole process here is contingent upon the lease being approved and the Housing Authority approving the allocation of funds.
Okay. Thank you. The reason I ask that is because when I joined as a member of the Housing Commission, I won't speak for my commissioners here, the initial goal was the discussion to increase affordable housing. Obviously, the issue of homelessness has become one that now we have to face a great deal of attention on. I am not comfortable not authorizing additional funding for the issues that we need to address on homelessness. It's not that I'm not sensitive to this issue, but if the issue is one of location, I'm going to strongly encourage the attention of the housing authority or the city council to listen to the complaints of the public and for them to evaluate this. But as a member of the housing commission, while I am very sensitive to these concerns, it clearly seems to be in our stead to approve additional funding to go forward to evaluate this. And so that's where I'm going to stand. I'm going to support this measure.
Call for a motion, please, to approve.
A motion.
Second. And a second. Okay.
A second.
And repeat the motion, if you would, please.
So the motion was to approve staff recommendation with specific additional directives. And I might turn to the commissioner to add what those specific additional directives were.
Just to further engage
the community. All right, thank you. And I might note as well, part of the MOU requires that be done as well. So it's part of what's before you. But so that's the motion, and there was a second by Commissioner Walsh. There's a motion and a second.
Are there any other comments, commissioners? Questions? Are you ready for the vote? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye or raise your hand. Two. All those opposed? Okay. Abstentions? I abstain.
So the vote is three in favor, one opposed, and one abstention. So this matter will go forward under the rules of the Housing Commission Authority to the City Council and the Housing Authority without a recommendation from the Housing Commission.
Thank you very much, Mr. Christensen. So, it is 11:33 and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.